Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Doug Gottlieb Show, live and direct from sunny Southern California. We got TNF Thursday Night Football. But I think there's some huge games. This is a big one. Don't get me wrong. Washington, the Giants, nobody wants to start 0-2. The Giants are shuffling their offensive line against arguably the best defensive line in football with the Washington football team. So I think that's the talking point tonight. Daniel Jones trying to prove he belongs. But what's funny about it is no one's saying like, everybody, oh, Daniel Jones not a good enough draft pick. Maybe he's not. But what about Saquon Barkley? That is a bad pick. I know he's coming off injury and everybody likes Saquon. But there's just some stuff that he doesn't do that, to be a top running back, you have to be able to do. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. So I coach youth basketball, and there are a couple of programs that, whether they have better kids, better players than us, or older players than us, or whatever, like we have yet to beat, but we keep getting closer, right? It's that old measuring stick game. And I think every different level has that, where there's somebody who you have to measure yourself against. It doesn't mean that you're bad, you just might not be at their level. That measuring stick game for the Baltimore Ravens is their yearly encounter with the Kansas City Chiefs. Lamar Jackson's 0-3 as quarterback, starting quarterback of the Ravens against the Chiefs. Here's his take on the supposed matchup, Lamar versus Mahomes.
It's not about, you know, me and Mahomes, not to me, you know, probably to everyone else, but, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, three times or whatever, but that's in the past. We you know, we got a better opportunity this time to come around, and we take the advantage and win in our home stadium. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we come Sunday night, and we're going to play.
It's a hard matchup for the Ravens defense on a normal year, right? If we go back to last year, the Ravens defense, they like the blitz, they play man, they get after you. The problem is like that's you can't really play that way against the Chiefs, right? They just have, but you know, if you bracket Tyreek Hill and you bracket Travis Kelce, right? Like now you're left guys on an island against everybody else. And Mahomes can also buy time with his legs, makes unbelievable throws. It hasn't been a great matchup for their defense. And then, frankly, their offense hasn't been good. You go back 2 years ago when he was the MVP of the league. Go watch the final score is not indicative. It was not a close game. He had a couple of miracle, just throw them up throws where guys came down with the football. That's the only way it got competitive. I agree. It's not Lamar against Mahomes. But in order for anyone to really buy in to the Ravens having a chance to get to the Super Bowl, you measure yourself against the Chiefs, right? They went to the AFC Championship game 3 years ago, won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, lost the Super Bowl last year. That's the team. That's the one you measure yourself against. Used to be the Patriots. Now it's the Chiefs. And they have not, honestly, been competitive with them. Do I put that on Lamar? At least slightly so, because it feels like Kansas City, whether it's the makeup of their defense, and remember, their defense has never really been the calling card, but their defense, by design and how to stop what they're doing, and by just how well they've played, they've really kept Lamar under wraps. Lamar being 0-3 isn't Lamar being 0-3 against Mahomes. It's 0-3 against the Chiefs. They are the team you measure yourself against. And I don't care what any of the final score, none of them have really been competitive games. He hasn't been able to get it going, and they haven't been able to stop the Chiefs. And the story of the Chiefs is, you know, honestly, like they get behind a ton. They're playing with fire. But they haven't really gotten behind the Ravens. They haven't had to play with fire. They've just been the better football team. I agree with Lamar. It ain't quarterback versus quarterback. They're never on the field against each other. And I'd also point out that this is not a you know, necessarily a fair fight. Ronnie Stanley is going to be out again. You know, you lost Marcus Peters. You're down to your fourth string running back. Like, you're just not this. You're just banged up. Too many injuries. You got to be at your best to beat the Chiefs normally. And it feels like a tough matchup for Baltimore and how they play on both offense and defense. This is a measuring stick game, and previous measurements have come up just a little bit short. Or a lot bit short. You know? It's interesting. You know, I was seen as an anti-Lamar guy for a long time when I was just kind of realistic. Like, look, dude, it's not the deep balls. He's always thrown a nice deep ball. It's the short and intermediate stuff. You know, it's the outside the number stuff. Like, that's just, he hasn't been that guy in terms of accuracy. And they're just some bad misfires. Obviously, he's cleaned up a lot and he's a better thrower than anyone could have imagined, I think. But a lot of those throws are within the confines of their offense, which I think anybody would realize has some limitations. Now, they got to get their tight ends healthy. And they're a team that has to be kind of on track and on path in order to win. But, you know, this is, and now look, this is interesting. There's more playoff teams than there have ever been, and there's more games than there have ever been. But 258 teams started 0-2 since 1990, and 88% have missed the playoffs. Now, it's different with 17 games. It's different with the added playoff spot that started last year. But you don't want to be 0-2, and you definitely don't want to be 0-3. And the Ravens, this is a tough row to hoe. Very important distinction there, Ramos. You heard me, right? It's a tough road to hoe. You can't hoe a road. Lots of people go, it's a tough road to hoe. That is not the way the expression goes.
That's not it.
Right? Hoe a row is a farming expression.
Yes.
And you have to use it properly.
And you did.
I know I did. Oh. I just, again, I started the show with semantics matter. Right? It does. It's like people always say, what's the other most commonly misused or misworded? They say, I could care less. That's not how you say it. That means you actually could care. I could care less. That means you could care less. It's I couldn't care less. There's not a certain amount that I could care any less. I couldn't care less. If you hear somebody say I could care less, that means they care. That's the opposite of what they're actually trying to say. Unless they're trying to say I care, which if you're trying to say I care, you don't say I could care less. You say I couldn't care less. Right? There's the tough road to hoe and I couldn't care less. Any other of those, Jay Stu, can you think of any of the other ones that are misused?
I was trying to think of some in my head, and none come readily to mind.
Buyer, can you think of any that come to your mind, or even ones that I've heard things, expressions that are don't have the proper grammar?
Yeah, intents and purposes, that one.
That's a good one.
Wait, what is it?
People say like intensive purposes, but it's intents and purposes.
For all intents and purpose.
For all intents purposes? Wait, what is it? Wait.
People say instead of intense, they say like intensive.
Yeah, they say intensive. For all intents and purposes. That's right. That's a good one. So what the actual expression is for all intents purposes?
And purposes, yeah.
For all intents and purposes?
Yeah, that's what unless I got it wrong, but intents and purposes.
Yeah, I know, like, you're right.
The and is, they say if.
Like intensive care,
for all intents purposes, or in effect, it's mistaken for all intensive purposes. You're right, huh? Well, I'll tell you what's interesting that's misused. But the dictionary, it's the term, you know, that people say literally. Well, literally, I don't know if you've seen this, but actually, the Webster's Dictionary folks added a definition of literally, which actually means figuratively.
You can thank the millennials for that.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
The recent generation made literally figuratively.
Yes. Literally means, well, literally. There is no, it is factual. It is actual. It is what takes place.
I literally lost my mind. You can't say that, but now you can.
Well, you could lose your mind. If you go crazy, you lost your mind.
Maybe, but physically, it's tough to lose your mind and then say it, be alive to say it afterwards.
No, you can't. You can say, you can't say I'm literally brain dead. I am literally brain dead. Like, no, you're figuratively brain dead. But you can lose your mind and then I lost my mind. I'm sorry, I literally lost my mind.
Speaking of, I think Norm MacDonald actually did a bit like this on Saturday Night Live. He just did a bunch of these cliches and literally stuff.
It's interesting. I can't believe he was sick for 10 years and like didn't feel like people knew. I'd be interested in all that. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. If signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't paid for by NHTSA. We'll talk some Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. Future Hall of Famer Tom Brady said something on his podcast. We'll have Warren Sapp react next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Never was around, but you grew up tall and you grew up right. But the Indiana boys, Indiana Knights. Great use of harmonica here, right? I'm always fascinated by that when they're, you know, they get the word, they get the lyrics, then they got the melody, and then somebody goes like, hey, what if we put the harmonica right there? Really? A rock and roll song? Yeah, it just works. Have you ever tried to play the harmonica?
Lucas got for Christmas a harmonica with like one of those like booklets on how to do it. So, yeah.
I got one when I went to play, when I was playing basketball overseas. I had this thing like, well, I'll be sitting in a hotel room most of the time. I'll learn how to play the harmonica. I got like a little booklet. I got the high dollar harmonica and I tried it for a little bit. I'm like, nah, I suck. I'm done.
That's what we said too.
Yeah. Cause you suck in and then blow out and you got to move it around. You use your tongue. It's a lot to it. That ain't my jam. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports recovery, healthy testosterone levels, boost energy. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with the promo code Doug. Don't let age beat you. Get M-Drive. Tom Brady, he's got his own podcast now, right? He also did a sit-down with Gronk, and it was Tom and Gronk deals. We're going to hear from Warren Sapp in a second, but here's Tom Brady talking about all the young quarterbacks in the league.
There's a lot of rookies playing. It's pretty amazing. I don't remember this many young rookie players. Even the second-year guys, Tua, Herbert, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Fields played a little bit. Trey Lance played a little bit. Zach Wilson's playing. Mac Jones is playing. That's a lot of young quarterbacks. So kind of gone are the days of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You know, those are the guys that I'm used to hearing. Now I'm watching yesterday and I'm seeing all these young guys. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, I'll be forgotten here soon enough. I'll move on and they'll be on to someone else. But that's just the way football goes, as does life.
I don't think he'll be forgotten, but I do think it's interesting. It's like Peyton Manning, obviously, now we look at him as a TV personality and a former great quarterback. We do so quickly forget. I'll tell you the guy who's been, who nobody talked about is Favre. Like when you list your top five quarterbacks of all time, now Brady's in that list. What do you do with Aaron Rodgers? Like Brett Favre was a superstar. And part of it is how stats have evolved. Right, Troy Aikman's still relevant because he's on the NFL Game of the Week, America's Game of the Week. Peyton Manning's still relevant because he's on commercials. Favre does not feel nearly as relevant. Like, he still does interviews and comments and whatever, but Favre was a superstar. So I think that if you want to be relevant, you can. It just, you have to kind of stay in the public limelight, right, in the public spotlight. Let's get to Dan Beyer before Warren Sapp joins us. Dan, what do you got?
Doug, I just wanted to add something to what you were saying as well, or what Tom Brady was saying. It's so interesting because there's like this middle gap of quarterbacks from, you know, the early 20-teens that did not continue their NFL careers. Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, where he is now, Sam Bradford with injuries. But so you had that old guard of Brees and Roethlisberger and Brady and Manning and Phillip Rivers. but there's only like Russell Wilson and Matthew Stafford that are still like hanging around from that like middle era. So you've got all these guys that are now young quarterbacks in the National Football League because that 8 to 10 to 12 year vets just kind of went by the wayside from the quarterbacks of that era. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I also think that a lot of this is a product of the contracts, right? Like if you have a guy who's good, and look, we don't even mention, how long is Derek Carr been in the league? A little bit longer than you think,
yeah.
Right?
Or 9 years?
Yeah. He's actually in that middle group that we just kind of forget. He is a kind of forgotten guy. But you're right. It's generally young or older proven superstar, right? You have, or older, you know, like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know he got hurt, but he's 38. Aaron Rodgers, late 30s, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, et cetera. There's no kind of middle class is what you're saying, and I agree. But a good portion of that is the contracts, right? Like if you can do a rookie quarterback or a rookie contract, you're like, yeah, he's fine. Then once they make that big money, like you got to be really, really good. If not, we're done with you.
Yeah, that middle group, I think, is very unique. There are only just a few guys like that.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Check out the latest lines of world of sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, we got Warren Sapp's going to join us in moments. Byer, if you were going to say, and I know, like, I think most guys do the, hey, John Gruden was just, it was just hyperbole, right? But if you were going to rank, if Darren Waller is in the discussion of the best players he's ever coached, who are the five other best players he's ever coached?
Wow. Well, you mentioned Brett Favre a little bit earlier, and Gruden was on those Packer staffs that you could mention. Obviously, his time with the Raiders. I think Jerry Rice was there late in that.
Tim Brown
tenure,
too.
But yeah, but Rice.
Rich Gannon was the MVP of the league when he was there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe just a prisoner of the moment, but those are some of the guys that come to mind. Heck, you know, you have Warren Sapp that you're going to talk to. Derek Brooks would be a guy that could mention as well. Just trying to go through the Gruden Rolodex. There are a lot of them, whether it be an assistant or a head coach that he had coached that were great all-time players.
I would say we have to go with when he's a head coach, right? I mean, that's just the only way. Because, you know, yes, he coached those guys, but let's just give him the benefit of the doubt and go, okay, well, it was, you know, it was when mm-hmm. he's talking about when he was head coach.
Well, I would say this about then Waller and his situation where, well, Jerry Rice was the greatest wide receiver we've ever seen. At least that's my personal opinion. It wasn't peak Rice era. He was very good with the Raiders in and especially at the age that he played, but it wasn't like Montana Rice Super Bowls 23 and 24 time of Jerry Rice. Waller, they threw to him 19 times on Monday. There is not another guy on that team that scares anybody throwing the ball to. Maybe the deep threat of Henry Ruggs, but I mean to throw to a guy 19 times and his physical ability and him and you know and now the sobriety that Waller has is so much a part of his life. Maybe that's why it's the total package when it comes to players because of everything that Waller encompasses. But most targets of anybody in week one of the NFL season for Waller.
You want to get in on this one, Jay?
I mean, it's really tough to argue with Charles Woodson on athletic ability alone, but that trophy case, I mean, what he's accomplished, that's a tough one to argue against, isn't it?
Was Charles Woodson's best player ever coached?
Yeah.
When was Charles Woodson with the Raiders? Look, he had two stints with the Raiders when he came back to the Raiders. The first time he was a dominant player, obviously, right? He was rookie of the year in 98. He was an all-pro in 99 and 01. He's right there. I mean, you know, like, look, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, those guys are pretty close. Jerry Rice is the most decorated player, but as Dan pointed out, he wasn't peak Jerry Rice when he was there. It's interesting. I would say, you know, look, there's a lot to what he's getting at with Darren Waller, but I think part of what he's trying to do with Darren Waller is telling me like he has limitless potential. right? There's like a motivational factor to it. Like, best player ever coached. Bro, you got limitless potential if you keep your head on straight, and we're going to get you the football. I think that a little bit what it felt like.
You know, and looking back at Jerry Rice's tenure with the Raiders, I don't know why, and it's just maybe because it was long ago or didn't think about it. Doug, I thought it was, all right, Rice was 35, 36, 37.
No, wasn't that old. No, he was in early 30s, wasn't he?
No, he was 39, 40, and 41. So when Jerry Rice was 40 years old, he had 92 catches for 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns.
That's insane.
Yeah, truly. I just in looking it up and seeing, but when he was 40 years old, he had 150 targets that year as well for Oakland.
Can we... Not like, let's just agree to not ever do the guys as good as Jerry Rice discussion at wide receiver. Like, can we just all kind of come to a gentleman's agreement on that one? Are you okay with that one?
Oh, yeah, I'm completely good on that.
There are guys that are better. You know, Dez Bryant's as good as going to get a jump ball. And I'm not saying Dez Bryant. Julio has made some great catches. But again, think about Julio this weekend. Julio looked older, slower. Julio Jones is... Is he 33? Is that how old he is now? I mean, I want you to think about this. Think about in 6 years what Julio Jones was going to look like. Then imagine that Jerry Rice had over 100 catches and they were winning games. It wasn't on bad teams. When he was there, they were winning games as well.
No. Yep. Went to the Super Bowl.
So let's just all kind of agree, okay, that no one is in the caliber of Jerry Rice. In terms of greatness in the peak of his career, I don't think it's particularly close. And the ability to be that great, that dominant, that long, no one's close. So let's forget that one. It's one of the discussions I have with friends all the time where I'm like, look, there's a couple positions that you can just go, that guy's the best. Let's not have any other discussion. The best lockup cover corner, who was also, I believe, the best kick returner of all time, is Deion Sanders. And people forget Deion Sanders. Did he retire twice or just once? Like, he was great with the Falcons when he's playing both football and baseball. Then he was great with, and I'm forgetting the order, Niners and Cowboys, and then retired. And then he comes out of retirement, and that incredible defense in Baltimore that won a Super Bowl, he was on it. And, like, they not only had an incredible pass rush and then Ray Lewis in his prime, but then they had Deion Sanders. And when he returned kicks and punts, he was the best. He was the best. Are you okay with that one, Byer?
Yes. I do think that Devin Hester does, but if for the sake of this argument, when Deion was such a show, he was such a... Yeah, I mean... When he was back there and dancing, waiting for the punt, there was nothing better than that.
But in terms of being a shutdown cover corner, I can't remember anyone being as good as long as he was.
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay, we're good there. I've always thought of Ronnie Lott as the best safety. Now, Ed Reed is in most people's kind of modern day discussions. So I do think that safety, there's at least room to talk about that one. Outside linebackers, Lawrence Taylor. There's never been anybody as dominant as Lawrence Taylor. Yep. You okay with that
one? Yes.
Okay. That to me is why those guys are different. Like, quarterback, we can have legit discussions. Like, Peyton Manning was incredible. To some people, he is the best quarterback. Tom Brady now, with all his success, now is kind of taking over that mantle. And I don't know how quarterbacks really feel. What they say in front of a microphone is not necessarily what they really feel. Aaron Rodgers checked every box. There was Brett Favre, who had the greatest longevity and might have been the toughest. And, I mean, guy just made plays and people love playing with him. Obviously, I mean, Russell Wilson's going to end his career. If he wins another Super Bowl, has to be in at least some form of discussion because they've never been bad with him. And they've had some teams which are a little shaky, offensive line, running back, wide receiver, the defense has gone through, and they're always good. I don't think he's in that discussion yet, but I think when all is said and done, he probably will be. But then he's in the, then you got the Dan Marinos, then the Joe Montanas, and all those other guys. So quarterback, there's like legit, good, healthy, spirited discussions where there's no surefire answer. There's an absolute answer at wide receiver. There's an absolute answer at outside linebacker. And there's an absolute answer at cover corner. And those three, you start with those three, you set them aside, and then you start having other discussions. All right, good. All right, go ahead.
I don't want to say the answer of who I then brought into the equation, but I thought maybe Reggie White. When you talk about dominant defensive ends, there have been great ones, but I don't know if there was ever one like Reggie White. That would be the
amazing.
Other one. Yeah.
He was amazing.
Maybe Deacon Jones, but it's so before my time. You know, all I know are stories, but I know just of watching and experiencing Reggie White was amazing.
You remember, for people forget, like Reggie White gone too soon, went to Green Bay, they won a Super Bowl like as soon as they got him. I mean, here's a guy that had 21 and 18 sacks in back-to-back seasons in Philadelphia. All right, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greats of all time. But apparently not the greatest player that John Gruden ever coached. Warren Sapp joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Warren, how are you?
That's a good one. I was only with him for 2 years.
They're two pretty good years, though.
One of them was good. The other one was 7-9. That was a little bit of a debacle.
Was there a text conversation between you and some of your boys when Gruden drops the Darren Waller's the best player I've ever coached the other night?
No. When Dennis Erickson said that I was the best player that he ever coached, and he's coached some monster, Four Horsemen, the Bermuda Triangle, and some other ones, I was like, huh? So I've been at the top, and I've been not at the top, so it's okay.
Warren Sapp joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Let's talk about a team you're synonymous with. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How difficult do you think it's going to be for them to repeat, considering it's hard to do, right? Everybody, you got a tougher schedule. As much as last year it was new, this year it's not new.
That was the last one to do it, though.
Yeah. What do you think of that journey for them?
Someone that can lead you through this and the talent that we brought back. But I always tell the Buc fans, calm down. Because I remember last year, early in the year, when Mitch Trubisky beat Tom Brady on Thursday Night Football, and Tom was holding up four fingers, and he was like, was that fourth down? I just tell everybody, show me your betting slip that Friday morning. Just show me your betting slip that you went. They call your bookie and say, put this on the Bucs winning the Super Bowl.
Why is it so hard to repeat? What happens in a locker room?
Oh my God. I remember going back to mine because I talked to Brooks about it the other day. I said, Brooks, you remember, dog, we used to show up in the Carolina Panthers. We was in a 12-9 football game. We won that game 12-9. I remember looking at my jersey. It was ripped on the side. I'm like, my God. It's like Caesar or somebody walked in and this is your one shot, you know? I'm telling you, you will get everybody's best shot no matter who or what they are. And it's a grind. And they've added an extra game this year.
Yeah. An extra game makes it more difficult in addition to...
You don't even get a 500 season no more. You either 8-9 or you 9-8.
Can you believe Brady's still doing it at this age?
Yes, I am. I mean, as a quarterback, you can operate. And the Bucs did a wonderful job of solidifying that offensive line and giving them some weapons around him because, I mean, Dak threw it 48 times and only got sacked once. Tom didn't get sacked, not one time. So that's what we got to do for our 40-something-year-old. Keep him safe, and he'll deliver the ball where he needs to.
There's an old expression in football. I think Parcells was the one who people give credit to, where he said, if you're thinking about retirement, you're already retired.
You're already retired.
Right. Okay. So everybody knows that expression. Aaron Rodgers has done multiple interviews where he said he was 50-50 on retiring. Is that why he played poorly on Sunday?
Look at him play last Sunday. It looked like he's 70-30 to me. Yeah. I don't understand this. Every player has came to that end of the road where they actually, like Joe Montana. Steve Young was sitting there the whole time, and he was training Steve Young how to run the West Coast offense. Brett Favre was there training Aaron Rodgers to take his job. I took the Bucs to the 99 championship game, lost to the greatest show on turf, gave up one touchdown, lost 11-6. You know who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picked the next year with the 13th pick?
Defensive tackle.
Anthony McFarlane. Yeah. Anthony McFarlane showed up to the draft camp. You know what I looked him straight in the face and told him? I said, son, you can play beside me, but you'll never play in front of me. That's what Aaron Rodgers was supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to walk in the GM's office. What? No, they don't care what you got to say. You're no different than any other player that's played in this league that's 101 years old. Get in line, go get prepared for the season, go perform. You don't get to pick the groceries. Tom Brady was in New England for 19 years and never got to pick the groceries. He was throwing to David Patton and people you couldn't even name and winning championships. What makes Aaron Rodgers that special?
Not a man bun, because that's not even a man bun.
That's an alfalfa seed.
He does. If you said, hey, which one of these guys spent the summer backpacking Machu Picchu, Aaron Rodgers would be the first pick.
Aaron Rodgers spent the summer in Peru or somewhere. I don't know what he did with that little alfalfa thing he got, but that's not it.
Is Jameis fixed?
There was nothing ever wrong with Jameis Winston except his ability or belief in his ability to put the ball wherever he needs to put it. Sean Payton said something to a good friend of mine, and I got the word from him. I played golf with him this morning, so you might know who it is. So he told me, we can fix those 30 interceptions. Them 33 touchdowns and them 5,000 yards, that's not every day you find a 5,000-yard, 30-touchdown guy in the National Football League.
Right. No, it's really – well, all right, you're a big power nap guy, right?
Okay. Y'all right in the middle of my power nap, but I couldn't because I had to come talk to y'all.
Okay, so what is your inner ninja with nap jitsu?
Nap jitsu is something I wish I had when I was playing in the league, because nap jitsu puts you to sleep and gets you to that deep REM sleep where you can recharge your body, restore, and you get up. You got a pep in your step, almost as if you drank two of those Monster energy drinks, or one of them energy drinks. No coffee needed. It gets you rested. It gets your body recharged, and you are on your way out the door with a pep in your step and a skip in your hop. I'm telling you, boss.
How long does it take to creep in on you? Right? Like, is it like 30 minutes? Is it an hour?
You take it when you go to sleep. When you wake up in the morning, you'll know it. You will know it. You will feel it. You will feel the pep in your step and that get up and go to get out that door. And you won't be looking around for no coffee or brewing no coffee for 30 minutes. I promise you that.
I don't know. I like my coffee. Can I do both? Can I do nap jitsu and coffee?
No. You like your coffee because you think you need it. You train your brain to tell you that you need it. You won't.
All right, I'll try. If you say it works, and
That's what I need. I just need you to come on, cross that line, and try, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Last thing, you're a savant at your position at the defensive side and the defensive line. Have you ever seen anybody do it as well as consistently as Aaron Donald does it?
Oh no, he rushes the passer like no other. I wish he'd play the run a little better, because when the running back is dragging you into the end zone, yeah. I mean, come on. I want to show you. Show me that tape where a running back, I got him in the backfield and he dragged me into the end zone. That's all I want. I want a complete player. He is everything you want in the pass game. I just don't like how he plays the run. I just don't like it. I didn't like the way Johnny Randle played the run either. Me and him talk about that too. So, hey, man, I'm a horrible critic, but I love the kid. Oh, my God, is it fun to watch him play.
Okay, who'd you play golf with? Tell us the truth.
Yeah, Sheffield.
Okay, and then
I played it at Michael Jordan's golf course, and I was getting my cigar cut by Michael on his way out off of number one, and we was right behind him.
Nice. Who took home the money?
Oh no! I don't gamble. I got six kids, and my children drink wine at the dinner table, and my only reply is red or white. I don't gamble. No.
Okay.
I don't gamble. You want to play $5 a hole or something? I'll do that. I mean,
how did you play?
My money go out on a little white ball flying there. No thanks.
How did you play?
I shot 52 on the front. I stopped counting on the back. I was not on my game today. I was not. I went bogey to start it off, and then all hell broke loose. Oh,
oh Well, at least it sounds like you had a good time. Thanks for joining us. We'll check out NapJitsu, and thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
You got to try NapJitsu, my man, and make sure you leave that coffee alone.
All right, that's Warren Sapp, the Hall of Famer, the sack master himself, joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Wait to hear what Nick Wright had to say about Kyrie Irving. That's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports 1, we call it. What's up, the Fox say? This is Nick Wright putting on his reporter hat and broke this news about Kyrie Irving.
There were a handful of teams that contacted the Nets to take the temperature on whether or not any of the big three, particularly Kyrie Irving, were available. Everyone knew that Durant's not available and Harden's almost assuredly not available. But since they acquired Harden, and because the Nets, you know, have a surplus of scoring and a surplus of ball handling, there's thought Kyrie might be available. And those teams were not told untouchable, no reason to call us back. They were led to believe it'd be irresponsible not to listen. But now there is nothing to listen to because Kyrie's people told anyone that would listen, trade for him at your own peril. If he were ever to be traded from Brooklyn, he would simply retire. And by the way, he publicly on the record a few years ago said that I'm not a guy that thinks I'm going to play late into my 30s. That is said, I always expected that my career would be over in my early 30s, where he is right now. Now, nobody is thinking he is planning on retiring right now, and I am not reporting Kyrie Irving contemplating retirement. That's not the report. The report is that he told people if he were traded, he would simply walk away.
You know, there's lots of guys that will say that, like, you know, if I'm traded, I'll walk away. One guy you would believe it is Kyrie Irving, right? It's like almost the kiss of death if you take him. You got to make it work because he will legitimately walk away from basketball. I think it's a legit possibility. I don't think it matters. Like, look, I think if he's healthy, you're good. You'll compete for a championship. You, the Lakers, you have the two best rosters. I think there's a couple other teams which can compete with them, and they're just hoping that there's some injuries there. But I what are you going to do with Kyrie Irving if he doesn't want to be traded? Like, these guys, he legitimately has enough money where he doesn't care about walking away. Like Kevin Durant, he ain't ever walking away from basketball. He loves it too much. But Kyrie Irving, I think he's just really, really good at it. I don't think it makes his brain wake up or it fills his soul with joy the way it does for Kevin Durant. And so if he says, hey, I'll quit if you trade me, I think the belief is he would actually quit. But my question would be, why would you? I understand he's a pain in the ass, but why would you trade him? You know, you're going to get pennies back in return, and you were an injury away from playing for and probably winning a championship. So I don't see it as a true dilemma in Brooklyn. And that's what the Fox said. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't, paid for by NHTSA. What's the real story with Zeke Elliott? Is he just not that good, or is he not getting the ball that much? That's next, the Doug Gottlieb Show.